turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, and I'll be reading verses 14 through 16. And out of reverence to God, please stand as his word is read. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. You may be seated. Wednesday, we were looking at the previous verse. You are the salt of the earth. And each of these, salt and light, refer to those that are believers who have come to have a different attitude about who they are and therefore coming to a saving relationship in Jesus Christ. The Beatitudes, if you will, are attitudes that need to be in us for us to be a Christian. The first is being poor in spirit, recognizing we are spiritually beggars. There is nothing good within us. And then mourning over our sin, realizing there's nothing good in us. We do not exalt in pride, but we're humble. And if we understand the only way to be right with God is God's way, we learn more and more about it by hungering and thirsting for what God has to say about things. And if we are a believer, realizing we're poor in spirit, that we have salvation only as a gift of God, we're going to be merciful to other people. And if we understand that our sin is something that has separated us from God and we've mourned over our sin, we'll seek to be pure in heart. And if we understand that it's not us that saves us and we're humble, then we'll seek to make peace between sinful man and a holy God. And if we're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, it's not going to matter what the world says about things, because we're not trying to please the world, we're trying to please God. And we will therefore be persecuted. But it's okay. Everyone that has spoken out the truth, prophets of God, have been persecuted. We've been told, if you want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, you will be persecuted. And so, now it comes to our mission. You, and the word there, you, is y'all. You all is a plural pronoun. Not just Lone Ranger Christians, but all the Christians. When Jesus sent out the apostles and sent out the disciples, he sent them out in pairs. Didn't send people out alone. There was always someone else. And now that Christ has risen, he has sent his Holy Spirit. So even if we are one individual, we're never alone. God's Holy Spirit is right there with us. You, all of you who are Christians, are the salt of the earth. And we talked about salt. It doesn't do anything sitting in the salt shaker. You got to get out of the salt shaker. And when it gets out of the salt shaker, there's some interesting things it does. It adds flavor to something that's bland. You don't notice salt until it's absent. When salt is absent, you go, oh, this needs some salt. But if it's got the salt in it already, go, oh, this tastes good. We're to season the world. Another thing that salt does, it preserves. Before refrigeration, and we didn't have refrigeration for a couple hours this morning. Now, you keep your refrigerator shut, but before that, you would have salt. And you'd salt your meat to preserve it. Well, salt slows the corruption that's happening in the food. Salt also creates a thirst for water. And Jesus is the living water. Salt also is something that was used as money, if you will. Roman soldiers were often paid in salt. It wasn't like you could go down to Costco and buy a case of salt. Salt was very hard to get in the time when Jesus was speaking. You probably heard the phrase, that person isn't worth his salt. That goes back to the time when people were paid in salt. That person's not worth paying. He's not doing a good enough job to get a paycheck. So when you heard somebody say they're not worth their salt, it's talking about the value of salt. Salt also melts ice. Now, we watched a video from the Twin Cities, and the Twin Cities there are not Dallas, Fort Worth, or Minneapolis, St. Paul. And we were missionaries in southern Minnesota. So the joke was, we're Southern Baptists, we're in southern Minnesota. Okay. But we were about 45 minutes south of Minneapolis, St. Paul, and you would salt the roads to help melt the ice so you get better traction. Now, before they melted, put the salt down, it would be like driving on an ice rink. Now, around here, it's like driving where the water layer and you're hydroplaning. Well, we would be very cautious when we're driving before they got the salt down, and because, you know, you might be able to travel at the normal speed on the interstate, but you're not going to be able to turn or stop like normal. So we would be sometimes heading to Minneapolis, St. Paul to go to the largest mall in the United States, and we'd be doing like 45 miles per hour on the interstate. And here comes somebody doing 65 past us. We would catch up with them within a few miles. They would be off to the side of the road, sometimes still on their wheels, other times on their roofs. But then they would come by and salt the roads, and they, you would see that the road was clear and you could have the traction again. Well, salt melts ice. There are a lot of hearts that are hardened that the salt will melt. Well, we are the salt of the earth. Now, salt, as I mentioned, you don't see it very well, but you know it's there. Light, on the other hand, you know when it's not there. Now, how many people this morning, when the power went off, goes, wonder where the salt is? No, you go, where's the light? I need the light, not I need more salt. Salt's going to make the situation with no power better. No, where's the light? Light is more visible. But we are to be both, acting unseen, but our actions are seen, but not necessarily us, and being seen. We are to be visible as Christians in a world. And the darker the world is, the brighter the light is. Now, I think Dean's flashlight would be bright even in a bright situation. But most of our little flashlights, you turn them on right now and it doesn't do much in this room. But it illuminated, Dean's flashlight illuminated the whole classroom when he had it on for Bible study this morning. The darker the situation, the brighter the light shines. We also know about things called lighthouses. What does a lighthouse do? A lighthouse is a light warning of danger and to change your direction. You can see the light going even through the fog. The darkest night, you see the light. Ships at sea, before GPS, needed the lighthouses to know where the unseen rocks were. And so lighthouses and the remnants of lighthouses are seen all along our coast. They're not used for navigation anymore, the most of the part are not. But there was a time when ships would wreck if the lighthouse wasn't showing. Now, we are the light of the world. Jesus says in John, the gospel, turn with me there, to chapter 17, talks about us and our situation. In verse 15, John chapter 17, beginning in verse 15, I am not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them so that they may also be sanctified by the truth. Jesus, in his prayer, before he's betrayed, is praying for us. Don't take them out of the world. They're to be in the world, and we're to shine as lights in the world, pointing to Jesus. In John chapter 3, Jesus is speaking to a religious leader, and he's telling him, Nicodemus, about the difference between light and darkness. Look at verse 19 of John chapter 3. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and avoids it so that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes into the light so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God. Why does darkness hate the light? Because it exposes the truth. Why do thieves most often strike at night? Because they think the darkness can hide their actions. But we're in a society now where the darkness is coming out in broad daylight because they think their deeds are not going to be exposed. We have all kind of corruption in our world. But there's not a lot of spiritual light shining on that corruption. The world hates the light. And they will tell those that are light bringers to turn the light off. Christopher Columbus, whose name is Light Bringer, he was coming to bring light to the indigenous people in India. That's why the people he first met, he called Indians. He thought he was in one of the islands off the coast of India. He understood about the world being round and that you could sail west and get east. He just didn't understand about this great big island called America that was in his way. But he was coming. His purpose, and if you read his diaries, was to spread the message of Jesus Christ. Now, he, like everybody in the world, is a sinner. And he got corrupted, made some bad choices. Too often, our society today wants to blame other people, and there are people that tear down statues of Christopher Columbus because they said, look at the bad things he did. People that want to tear down statues refuse to let the light shine on themselves. Our world is filled with history of individuals that were sinners and many that did godly things that pleased God were still sinners. We see riots in our cities. We see vandalism. And often we hear, it's because other people aren't treating me right. Other people are sinners. So is every single individual. But the light of the gospel shines on each of us that each of us are sinners. And each of us are facing a judgment day. That's why Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, the darkness hates the light because it exposes their deeds. We don't want to hear that we're sinners. We want to hear other people are sinners. Those that are Christians will point out the truth of what God says. There is a judgment day coming. Scripture tells us, as in the days of Noah, so will be the days of the coming of man. And if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 6, it talks about the days of Noah. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. When the Lord saw the human wickedness was widespread on the earth, and that every inclination of the human mind was nothing but evil all the time, the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and he deeply grieved. Then the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I created, off the face of the earth, together with the animals, creatures that crawl, and the birds of the sky. For I regret that I made them. Noah, however, found favor with the Lord. There was a flood. 8 people in all were saved. Those are all the people that responded to the message that Noah was preaching. Judgment's coming. The boat landed. All the animals, Noah and his family got off. And if the rain stops, we will see the rainbow. The rainbow was given the significance by God. Not that God created the rainbow right then. It just said God gave a significance to it. It could have been that's the first rainbow ever. But it doesn't say that. The rainbow that we see when the rain finally stops is a promise of God. He will never destroy the earth by water again. But within a few generations, we have the towns of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God destroyed them with fire and brimstone. God told Abraham, if I can find 10 righteous people in Sodom, they will be spared. And it tells us Lot was troubled in his heart when he saw the sinfulness of Sodom, but it was just Lot and his 2 daughters that were saved. God always has a remnant that he saves from the judgment that's coming. God punishes sin. And there is a judgment day coming, and God has promised a way to be prepared for that judgment. The blood of Jesus saves us from the judgment to come. And we need to share that message with others. We are the light of the world. We are a city on a hill. You can see a city on a hill in the daylight. You can see a city on the hill in the night. You can't hide the city on the hill. Jesus also said you don't put a light inside a clay pot so that you can't see the light. There was one time that God said to do that. He told Gideon, get your soldiers. You got too many of them right now. Let's get it down. Because you're going to have a battle that God will bring the victory. Each man had a torch inside a clay pot and a trumpet. They surrounded the army. Now, there were 300 of them against thousands of the enemy. God says, I'm going to show you how I can win a victory. They broke their pots, held their torches up, blew their trumpets, and said, for Gideon and for the Lord. And God brought the victory. All the enemy turned on themselves. God brought a victory then. That's the only time that I remember God saying, put your light in a pot, but it was only for a short time until God brought out his victory. We are to light the world. It's nice to have these lights on in here. We can see clear. It lets us see the truth. The world needs to see the truth. It is not loving to hide the truth from the world, because the world needs to hear the truth, because there is a judgment day coming. We were talking about the weatherman earlier. And the weatherman tells us it's going to rain. There's a chance of rain. So you'll take your umbrella. Now, any weatherman that says there's a chance of rain that doesn't carry his umbrella with him, don't believe him. Yeah. But if there's a chance of rain, you're getting prepared. And he talks about percentages. Well, I will tell you, there's a 100% chance of a judgment day. And the only way to be ready for judgment day is having the blood of Jesus covering your sin debt. The world needs to hear that. A lot of people getting wet today. Everybody's going to face judgment. A lot of people are avoiding the rain today. Nobody's going to avoid the judgment. Be salt and light. Salt, people don't notice unless you're not interacting with them. Then they notice something's missing. Light, they see that you're standing up for the truth, and they need to hear the truth. We are called to do both. And remember that you is a plural. We're not called to do it alone. We're called to do it with others. Let us share the truth. Be the salt and light of the world. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Ladies, remember to get your roses. And if you have some, if you need to take one home you, to somebody else, you can take that too. Okay. Lord, thank you for this time we could be here. I thank you of your love for us. I thank you for your challenge to remind us that we are the salt and the light of the world. Your plan is for us to spread your message. And the goal is that glory is brought to you, not to ourselves. Let our light shine that they may see our good works and give praise to you, because you are the one that's made us different. Let us remember to direct all praise and attention to you. In Jesus' name, amen.